We're holding on Tess Umward Aleph, the seventh line from the top. The Gemara had been discussing the question of the size of a revius, in the size of a revius of wine and various dinim about the kosis of Pesach. It's very much as Mangrama now. But the reason the Gemara had gotten into it is kind of a roundabout way. In the Mishnah, we had talked about the three baskets of three saw each that they would use for Turmas HaLishka. They would use to take coins out of the Lishka and use those for spending on the expenses of the Beis Mikdash. So that led us into a short discussion about the size of baskets that are referred to in a Mishnah in Shabbos, as far as Hilchos Shabbos. So then in a similar vein, we had, so in other words, the question was, what are the size of the baskets there? And the answer was, Rabbi Yoshi had said, you learn from the size of the baskets here. So in a similar vein, the Gemara had said, we know you have to have Dalet Kosis on Pesach, and the size of them we can deduce from what it says about the size of a cup in Mishnayos Shabbos. And that led us into a whole discussion about the size of a cup and the size of a revius and various dinim about the wine that we drink on Pesach. Tony, we learn in a brisa, Yovish Kezias Divir of Nosin. Now, so we were talking about one thing in the Gemara was about if a person carries out wine on Shabbos, how much does it need to be for them to be chayiv? So we said one opinion was the amount that a person would swallow in one gulp. Rabbi Yehuda had said a smaller amount, the amount that we would use to mix up one full cup of good wine. We know in those days they used to dilute their wine, generally three parts water to one part wine. So we said, therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you take out a quarter of a revius, then it's enough for a person to be chayev. So now we learn in a braisa that if a person carries out on Shabbos dry wine, then the amount Rab Nosson says, the amount that he'd be chayev would be a kezias. So Rabbanon de Kesri, Rab Yosi bar Bivi Yishem Shmuel, so the Chachamim of Caesarea, as well as Rab Yosi bar Bivi in the name of Shmuel, they both pointed out, Asir Rab Nosson Kedab Shimon. It comes out that what Rab Nosson is saying, that the amount would be like, it would be a kezias, that it comes out, Rab Nosson would be like Rab Shimon. Kemad Rab Shimon, Omer B'Revius, Kain Omer Rab Nosson B'Revius. Rab Shimon, now we had like this, we had two opinions in the Gemara previously on Chesem and Beis, actually from Masechta Shabbos. One was that a person is chayev on Shabbos for carrying out on Shabbos the amount of wine that a person would swallow in one gulp. The other one was a smaller amount that Rabbi Yehuda says, which is a quarter of a revius, because then when you reconstitute it with water, when you add the three parts water, then you have one full revius. On the other hand, then you have in the Mishnayos over there in Shabbos, Reb Shimon says that in general, all liquids, the shear is a revius. He says there's no distinction, even though the Mishnah in Shabbos at the beginning of Perek Ches over there discusses, it mentions a few different liquids that have different shiurim, and then it says in general, all other liquids is a revius. Reb Shimon says, no, all liquids, without exception, the shiur is a revius. So then Reb Nosson is following the same thing. Kein Omer Reb Nosson b'revius. Reb Nosson, by the same token, is also saying that the amount would be a revius. So why does he say kezias? Because lachshi kodesh, because a revius of liquid wine, when it dries out via heba kezias, then it's going to end up being a kezias. Because when it dries out, then some of the water content evaporates, and therefore you're left with a kezias. So Rab Nosson's kezias of dry wine would be the equivalent of Reb Shimon's revius of liquid wine. Pure wine, that is, without water being added. So in short, there are three different definitions of how much a person is chayev for carrying out wine on Shabbos, a revius according to Reb Shimon, the amount the person swallows in one gulp according to the Chachamim, which is less than a revius, but we don't know exactly how much, and according to Reb Yehuda, a quarter of a revius. So in this connection, also talking about a revius, The Gemara tells Reb Simon b'shem Rabbi Shimon Levi. Reb Simon tells in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi the following story and the din that comes from it. Ma'aseh b'pirdas Rabbi Shemesa. It happened once that a mule in Rabbi's household died. Rabbi, we know, was very, very rich, so they had mules. So one time, one of his mules died. V'tiru, and apparently it died, and blood came out of it. V'tiru is dama mashum nevela. The Chachamim said that the blood of it is tahor. It's not tame as tumas nevela. Now the question is, is it because there was less than a revius of it, and therefore now we know the flesh of the animal obviously would be matame if there's a kezias of it, like any nevela. The question is, when we say they were matahar the blood, is it that they were matahar any amount, because they hold that blood of an animal is not like the flesh of the animal. So the flesh of the animal, you need a kezias to be matame, but the blood, there's no particular shear of it that would be matame, even more than a revius. Or were they matahar only because it so happens that less than a revius came out, and similar to what we were just saying, according to Reb Nosson, less than a revius of blood is going to result in less than a kezias when it dries out, and therefore it would be tahor just like you have less than a kezias of flesh. So which is it? So v'shar Rabbi Eliezer, it says over here, it's really supposed to be Rabbi Lazar. So v'shar Rabbi Lazar as Rabbi Simon. So Rabbi Lazar, this is the Amora, Rabbi Lazar, asked Rabbi Simon, ad kama. What was the amount of blood that we're talking about over here? Was it a revius or more, or was it even a revius or more, and still they said it's tahor because they held that the blood is not of a nevela, is not matame at all, So was it more than a revius and they're not matame at all? Or was it only that because it was less than a revius and therefore it doesn't equal a kezias and it dries? So he asked, so Rabbi Lazar asked Rabbi Shimon, v'loy ashkach bay, and he didn't pay attention to him and he didn't answer the question. V'shal Rabbi Shurban Levi. So then Rabbi Lazar went to ask Rabbi Shurban Levi directly. Rabbi Simon had been Rabbi Shurban Levi's Talmud, but since he's not getting an answer from Rabbi Simon, then he went and asked Rabbi Shurban Levi directly. But Amalei, and Rabbi Shurban Levi told him, "Ad revius tahor yosem revius tame." Only up to a revius did they say it's tahor. In other words, like the same thing that we just said, according to Rabbi Nosson, that because it's less than a revius, therefore when it dries out, it's going to be less than a kezias. Only because of that was he matah, or were they matah? And had it been a revius or more, in fact, they would have been matah. And the Gemara says, "Bosh, let Rabbi Lazar al or ad delechazalei Rabbi Shimon Shmuasa." So Rabbi Lazar was upset over the fact that Rabbi Simon hadn't answered him the question. Why did he himself, Rabbi Simon, learnt from Rabbi Shurban Levi. He should have been able to tell me to answer himself, and instead he didn't, and therefore I had to go to Rabbi Shurban Levi himself. So Rabbi Lazar found that objection. Also, the Gemara continues, Rav Bivi have a Yosef Masni Hadin Ovda. Rav Bivi one time was sitting and teaching this story, the same story about the dead mule and the fact that they were matahar the blood. And Omer Rabbi Yitzchok by Bisno or Kahana. So Rabbi Yitzchok by Bisno or Rabbi Yitzchok by Kahana asks him, Ad Revius Tahor Yosef Mikan Tomei. So he's asking again the same question, the same thing that Rabbi Lazar had asked Rabbi Simon, the same thing now Rabbi Yitzchok by Bisno, Rabbi Yitzchok by Kahana is asking Rabbi Bivi the same question. Is it that we're talking about it's tahor only up to Revius, but more than that it would be tame, or is it tahor even if it's more than that? And Rabbi Bivi, not only, so before we just said that Rabbi Simon didn't answer the question. Now Rabbi Bivi, bought bay literally means he kicked him. So in fact, Korban Eda says it may mean literally, like he pushed him away with his shoe. But he says another explanation, bought bay could just mean he yelled at him. Tikkun Chadatin just says that it means that he didn't want to answer him, and he pushed him away, maybe even just verbally, and didn't treat him respectfully. So Omalei Rabbi Zirika, so Rabbi Zirika asked Rabbi Bivi, what's going on? Begin to shorloch at Bratbei. Why are you treating him like that just because he asked a question? Omalei, so Rabbi Bivi answers, the reason I it had nothing to do with the question itself. Begin to lay habas daiti be ba'itneve. The reason is because I wasn't fully in. I didn't have my das with me. In other words, I was distracted. I was concerned, and therefore I would loyhosa daiti mi yoshevus. Korban Ada says my mind was not at ease at that time, and therefore I was. Therefore, I didn't have the patience for his question at that point. Now, why did I not have my das with me? Why was I so ill at ease? The Amr of Chanan, it's like what Rav Chanan says, and one, there's a pasuk in the Teichacha that says, "Vahoyu chayecha tluim l'chami neged." It says, "Your life," or the pasuk says, "Your life will be hanging in the balance in front of you." So the whole pasuk goes, "Vahoyu chayecha tluim l'chami neged." Your life will be hanging in the balance before you. "Ufachad to laila v'yomim," you'll be afraid by night and by day. "V'loy samin b'chayecha," and you won't be able to trust your own life. So in the simple meaning of the pasuk, of course, it's talking about just the various troubles and sorrows that are that people, that we Jewish people go through in Golos, where sometimes a person doesn't even know from one day to the next or from morning to evening whether they're still going to be alive and what's going to happen. But the Gemara explains, when the pasuk says your life will be hanging in the balance in front of you, this refers to a person who has no land of their own, so they have to buy a whole year's supply of wheat. So, in other words, they're having to rely on others. He has no ground to plant. So he never knows next year, is there going to be enough food? Is there going to be enough money to be able to buy food for the coming year? Therefore, he's worried. When the pasuk continues, you're going to be afraid by night and by day. That's somebody who's even worse off. This refers to somebody who has to buy from a sidki, which is somebody who Korban Eda describes. A sidki is somebody who sells grain for people who don't have it all. And so you buy it once a week. So in other words, you're only able to buy a week's supply at a time. So now you have more to worry about. You're only buying a week's supply at a time. Or actually, Korban Eder, Tiklan Chadatim, just says it means you're buying a small quantity at a time. So you never know. By the time you get there, it might sell out. Also, it's very easy for the prices to jump up from day to day. So therefore, he's afraid for Laila V'yoyim. He's afraid for night and day that a person usually eats twice a day, in the evening and in the morning. And he's always nervous about, is there going to be a supply? And when the pasuk finishes, V'loy Samin B'chayecha, you won't even be able to trust your own life, means Zala Keach Min Apalter. That means somebody who's even worse off than that. He doesn't even have the ability to buy grain and then grind it and make wheat and make flour and make bread himself. He has to buy ready-made bread from the baker. So then he's the worst off of all. Like he won't be able to trust his own life because the baker may always go out of business or run out or whatever. And Rabbi says, I'm relying on the baker, and therefore I'm more nervous. And therefore, I didn't have the presence of mind to be able to answer Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna, and that's why I answered him the way that I did. Actually, the Bavli tells this story as well in Menachos. There it just says that he didn't answer, and when they asked him, similar to the first case where we said that Rav Simon didn't answer, and when he said we didn't answer the question, and later on Rav Zirka asks him why, then he gives the answer that we're saying over here. So here in the Yerushalmi, we're saying not only he didn't answer, but actually bought Bay, like he treated him disrespectfully for asking the question. But we're saying the reason was because he was nervous. They point out, I mean, the Balei HaMusar talk about, I mean, you know, the Gemara elsewhere says that if a person has food today and says, where am I going to have food for tomorrow? Then he's miktanei amona. He's one of the people who has less amona than he should. And we find, for example, in the Midbar that Hashem gave the mon every day to the Jewish people in order for them to develop this high level of amona. So one idea is, in other words, Rabbi Vi is saying in our Gemara that I haven't yet reached that high level of amona, and therefore I'm nervous about my food supply, and therefore I don't have the presence of mind to learn Torah properly. With that said, there was an explanation from the Oruch Laner in one of his Trubas, where he says that also it may mean that Rabbi Vi is saying, I'm also in the Ruchnistika sense, like somebody who's buying bread from others, meaning I didn't originate this halacha. I only learned it from my Rebbe, who ultimately learned it from Rabbi Shulman Levi, and therefore I'm not as clear on the details of it. So therefore I'm like a person who buys from the baker, where he's not the one who's actually getting the supply of wheat, and therefore I'm not as clear on the details of it to be able to answer it properly. So in other words, he's saying the reason why I showed him disrespect is because Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna should also, he should go and ask somebody else. He should go ask Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi maybe himself rather than relying on me, rather than relying on second or third hand. Okay. So anyway, so the bottom line is we have the question. In the case of this mule, whether we're talking about more than a revius of blood or less. So, okay, we had Rabbi Shob and Levi saying that only up to a revius. We're having Rabbi Vivi is not sure. So the Gemara says, Umau kidun. Okay, so what's the bottom line? What is the halacha? Do we say that a revius of blood from a dead animal is metame or not? So the Gemara brings, Hey, Rabbi Shob and Pesoda al dam nevela shuutar. We learn in a Mishnah in Adius that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Pesoda said Adius about the blood of an Avela that it is Tahar. Now we assume that it means completely Tahar, no matter whether there's less than a Revius or more than a Revius. So therefore that would answer the question. The Gemara says not necessarily. Mahu Tahar Tahar Melahachshir. Not necessarily, because Tahar could mean Tahar as far as it's not Machshir Lekabel Tuma. If that blood, no matter how much of it, falls on food, it doesn't make it susceptible to Tuma. That doesn't show that maybe, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're talking about whether it's metame or not. Maybe more, in other words, it's not considered a mashke. So it's not, even though blood is one of the shiva mashkim, only certain kinds of blood. Blood of shchita, for example, is machshir lekabel tuma, but not, for example, blood that just came out of a dead mule. But not necessarily. Are we saying that less than a revius of it? Not necessarily. Are we saying that a revius or more of it wouldn't be metame as if it was like the flesh of the animal? The word tahar might mean only that it's tahar according to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Besoda. Then it would be tahar in the sense it's not machshir lekabel tuma. Aval tamei is metame, but maybe as far as being metame, maybe it is metame if you have a kazayis, if you have a revius or more. Because again, when it dries out, it'll be a kazayis or more. But the Gemara says no, because tamon tanenon. No, it can't be, because we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Machshirin, Dam Asheretz Kivsaray, the blood of a sheretz is like the flesh of it. Metamei ve'enim machshir, it can make something tamei and it can't be machshir lekabel tuma. And the Mishnah says ve'ein lanu kayotzebay. But we have nothing else like it. So therefore, so according to that Mishnah, it's clear that only the blood of a sheretz is in that category, that it's metame ve'enim machshir. Nothing else is like that. So therefore, that would require us to say that blood of the nevela is not like that, because obviously the Mishnah is saying only the blood of a sheretz is like that. Therefore, the blood of an avela, if we're saying that it's tahar, it can't mean that it's tahar in the sense it's not machshir lekabel tuma, but it itself is metame, because then it would be like the blood of a sheretz. And the Mishnah is saying that the blood of a sheretz is unique. So it has to be that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Besoda means that it's completely tahar. But the Gemara says, no. Not necessarily. What the Mishnah may mean when it says that the dam of the sheretz is unique, it might mean as far as the shear of the tumah of it. The blood of a sheretz is metame when you have only a lentil size of it, just like the flesh of the sheretz is metame when you have only a lentil size of it. So therefore, as opposed to the blood of an avela, we would be saying the amount is not with the blood of an avela, we'd be saying the amounts are kazayas and a revius respectively. So maybe indeed the blood of the nevela is metame when you have a revius of it, but it's not similar to the blood of the sheretz because a lentil size of it would not be metame. Not necessarily. Can you prove from that Mishnah that it would be metame rather than maybe just not that it would or wouldn't be tahar? You can't necessarily prove that. All you can show is that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Pesoda is saying, and fine, it's an adius, so the halacha is like him, that it's not metame, it's not metame less than a revius, and that it's not machshir lekabel tuma. That doesn't necessarily show that it's not metame more than a revius. That's how Tiklin Chadatin explained the shakla v'talya in the Gemara. Korban Eda explains it a little bit differently. The Gemara had brought a proof. Yeah, that the Gemara had said that when we bring the Mishnah from Adius that dam nevela shu'tar, so we ask How do you know that tahor means that it's not, that it's not makabel, that it's not makabel, that's not mat, that's not matame? Maybe it means it's only not machshel makabel tuma. And the answer is the Mishnah about damasheretz. And then the question is that the question is that maybe it means that it's not similar as far as kadosh. Pretty much amounts to the same thing as the way Tiklin Chadotin explains it. Okay. So Amar Rabbi Yosi pligin batrein amiroin. So in fact, Rabbi Yosi says two amiroim argue about the halacha in this case. Is it a revius of blood from a nevela matame or not? Chad amar tame v'chad amar tahor. One amor that says it's tame, the other one says it's tahor. Manda amar tame k'Rabbi Yehuda. The one who says it's tame would be like Rabbi Yehuda. Namely, that Rabbi Yehuda says that there's a different Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda says that Beis Shammai says that the blood of an Avela is Tahar, but Beis Hillel disagrees, and of course that means the Halacha is like Beis Hillel. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, yes, a blood, according to Rabbi Yehuda, blood of an Avela, a Revius or more, would be Metame. So that's one Amora holds like that. The one who says it's Tahar would be like Rabbi Yehuda ben Pesaira. So it's a machloikas tanoim, and from that, Rabbi Yossi tells us there's a machloikas amiroim. So we have a nusach acher, Rav Avur de iman achse de Rabbi Yehuda cholo, but Amale Rav Avduma de min nechusa, Rav Avduma from nechusa says to Rabbi Yossi, who said that there's a, that in fact there's a machloikas tanoim on this, Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Yehuda ben Pesaira, the Yos, that's correct. It has to be that the opinion that says that it's Tomei would specifically be according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we can relate it to a Mishnah in Adius. We can relate it to a Mishnah in Adius where Rabbi Yehuda says that blood of an Avela is a Machloikas B'Shamah and B'Shilo, and therefore, according to him, the Halacha would be like B'Shilo, and therefore the Halacha would be like Beis Hillel, would mean that it would be Tameh. The Rabbi Yehuda Meryona de Bein Asiyahab. Rabbi Yehuda was the Poisik for the house of the Nasi. In other words, in the family of the Nasiim, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi Yehuda the Tanner, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, was the Meraina. He was the local Rav for the household of the Nasiim. So therefore, if we're saying that they were Tameh, the blood Mishum Nevela, then it has to be that it was less than a revius, like we said at the beginning of the sugya, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi said, because yes, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that more than a revius or more would in fact be tomei. So if we're saying that they were matar, that they were matar the blood, they would be Rabbi Yehuda. Then it can only be if there was less than a revius, and that's when Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's tahor. Again, Rabbi Yehuda ben Pesaira would disagree and say that's tahor no matter what. Getting back to the Mishnah, we said that Shema Yoni V'Yom Rechula, we said that when a person goes in to take the Truma Salishka, when they send somebody in to take out
the coins... So one second. Yeah. What's the halacha then? Is it a revis that you're chayav for Shabbos when you take it out?
No, so as far as wine, we said if a person carries out liquid wine on Shabbos, undiluted wine, then the shiur would be a quarter of a revius. If it's diluted wine, then it would be a full revius because that's the amount to drink. If it's dry wine, then the shear would be a kezias, because a kezias is the of dry wine is the equivalent of a revius of fresh wine. And then as far as the blood of the Nevela, let's see. So actually I didn't look it up. If I remember correctly, the halacha is indeed that it's tahor, that it's tomei even more than a revius, but I'm not sure about that. I would have to look that up.
Okay.
Next, we said in the Mishnah, Shema Ye'oni V'yom Rechula. So we said in the Mishnah that when a person goes in to take the Trumas Alishka, they take a lot of precautions to make sure that he can't take any money for himself that they won't find, and that other people won't suspect him of doing so. So for example, the Mishnah had said, we don't allow him to go in with a garment that has a folded up hem at the bottom, because he could put coins in that hem. And even if he doesn't, people might suspect that he did. The same thing, we don't allow him to go in wearing shoes or sandals or tefillin or kameya, because any of those things, he could hide money inside. And the Mishnah had said Shema Ye'oni V'Yom Rechula, because later on, if the person later on at some point becomes poor, people are going to start saying about him that, you know why he became poor? It's a punishment for him stealing from the Lishka. Or he might become rich, and people are going to say, you know why he's rich? Because he started out with money that he got from the Lishka. And the Mishnah continued that a person has to always be careful to act in a way that's above suspicion, not only in Hashem's eyes, but also in the eyes of other people. So the Gemara says, Tani Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, we learn in a braisa of the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, kovutz lo yitra mipnei chashad. A kovutz should not take the truma because of suspicion. What is a kovutz? Korbana Eda and Tiklan Chadzitin say, both of them say that it means somebody who has long hair. So then there's concern that he might hide money in his hair. So therefore we don't allow that. Also, Rav Avon explains it that way. Another explanation, the Rambam explains, not the Rambam apparently had a girsa, not kavutz with two vavs, but kavutz with a vav and a vase. Meloshin, therefore, it's actually meloshin, the expression, a kabtzan, a poor person who has to collect nedavos. So the Rambam learns that it means that a person who's poor, or a person we know who really likes money, nivhal lahayin, he's always eager to earn money, should also not do the Trumas HaLishka, because people might suspect that he took money from it, because he's eager to get money and he's poor and he really badly needs the money. Okay, Tony, we also learn in a braisa, HaGizborim HaYim Mufaspsin B'Kilkin, the Gizborim, the treasurers of the Beis Mikdash, would separate out his hair, and also the Rav Avon adds they'd separate his hair, they'd comb through his hair, they'd also separate any long furry areas on his clothing or whatever, any areas with deep pile on his clothing, again to make sure that there's no money hidden inside there. Tony, and we learn in a braisa, medabrin hoyoim mishoshu nichnas ad shoshu yotze. They would also talk with him constantly the whole time that he's inside there, filling up the baskets with coins in order that he doesn't put coins in his mouth. So the Gemara asks, why do we need to do that? Instead, the imali pumimoi, why don't we have him fill up his mouth with water before he goes in? And then he has to hold the water in his mouth the whole time. And then when he goes out, we can check that the water is still in there, and then we'll know there's no coins. The answer is Amar Rabban Tanchuma mipnei bracha. Rabban Tanchuma says you can't do that because of the bracha. Now, what bracha do we mean? So there's a commentary on Yerushalmi called Yefei Mare, who explains what it means is, because he would have to make a bracha on the water. What if he swallows some of it by accident? Then he would have to make a bracha on it, and he's not going to be able to do that. But the Chacham Tzvi has a tshuva on it, which is referenced here in Gilyon HaShas, that says, also in Sion Yerushalayim above that, that says, what are you talking about? Let him make a bracha before he goes into the room, having in mind all the water that he's going to drink in case he swallows some. And besides which, if he swallows some not intending to, he wouldn't have to make a bracha anyway. Water is different than other drinks. You only make a bracha on it only if you're drinking for the sake of drinking because you're thirsty. So rather, he explains, the Chacham Tzvi explains that what it means is over here that, and Korban HaEder, he explains the same way, that it means because he has to make a bracha before he does the Trumas HaLishka. Whenever you do a mitzvah, you have to say a bracha. So in this case, he's going to take the coins from the Lishka that are going to be spent on the expenses of the Beis Mikdash. So he has to make a bracha al HaTrumah, just like you make a bracha asher kedushat mitzvah if it's one of al HaTrumah or al HaFroshes Trumah or whatever, just like you would when you take Trumah from produce. So therefore, he's going to have to say that bracha while he's inside the room over there, and he can't do that if he has a mouthful full of water. Okay. So the Gemara continues, Rav Shmuel bar Nachman b'shem Rav Yonasan. Rav Shmuel bar Nachman tells us in the name of Rav Yonasan, but Torah over Nevi'im over Ksuvim, Matsonu, in Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim, we find Psukim that express the idea, Sha'odem tzorich lotzis yidei abriyas, kideoch shu tzorich lotzis yidei amok. That a person has to act in a way that's above suspicion from other human beings just as much as he has to act in a way that's above suspicion from Hashem. In other words, a person can't do something that looks bad and say, okay, but you know what? But Hashem knows the truth. No, you have to act in a way that people are not going to suspect him of doing Averis either. This pasuk was quoted in the Mishnah as well, that you have to be, Moshe tells Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, you will be clean in front of Hashem and in front of the Jewish people. This is when they wanted to settle in Eivor HaYarden, and Moshe gives them a whole speech. What are you doing? You're gonna dissuade the people, the rest of the Jewish people, from going, from crossing the Yarden and all. And they explain to him that we just want the cities over here for our wives and children, and we'll go and help. And Moshe tells them, fine, if you go and do that, the Yisim Nikiyim Me'Hashem Me'Yisrael, you'll be clean of any suspicion in front of Hashem and in front of the Jewish people. So that's a pasuk in Torah that expresses that idea. B'Neviim Minayin Dichtiv, another pasuk in Neviim, also in connection with Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. It says, Kela Lekim Hashem V'Gomer, the pasuk says, Hu Yedeya, he knows, V'Yisrael, Hu Yeda, and the Jewish people will know. They have the story over there. It says, near the end of Sefer Yoshua, that Bnei Reuven and Bnei Gad and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, when they were finished all their years working to help conquer and divide up Eretz Yisrael, and now they're on their way back home, the pasuk describes how they went and built a big mizbeach on the banks of the Yarden, and the other Shvatim suspected that they're doing that in order to secede from the Jewish people and not bring korbanos in Mishkan Shiloh anymore and start bringing korbanos on this mizbeach, and they raised an army and they were going to go attack them, and then Pinchas goes to talk with them, and Pinchas and the Skenim go to talk with them to find out what's going on, and they explain that, no, we made this Mizbeach only as a symbol, just the opposite. We're not going to use this Mizbeach for Korbanos. We made it as a symbol of the fact that we also have a share in the Mizbeach in Shiloh, just like everybody else, even though we're on the other side of the Yarden. So they use the expression, Hashem knows, and the Jewish people will know, meaning as soon as we finish explaining it to you. So they also, you see the idea, that they can't just say, you know what, Hashem knows the truth, we're not answerable to you. No, they explain themselves that in order that they should be clear of suspicion. B'ksuvim minayin, where do we see in k'suvim this idea? D'chtiv, a pasuk in Mishlei, which was also quoted in the Mishnah, u'metzachein v'seichel tov be'eni alekim v'adam, you should find grace and good understanding in the eyes of Hashem and in the eyes of people. This is the nusach invention that we have, v'nisa v'racha v'nimtzachein v'seichel tov be'eni alekim v'adam, comes from this pasuk, from a slight change in this pasuk. So in other words, don't just be in the eyes of Hashem, but also in the eyes of people. So the Gemara says, Gamliel Zuga Shol Rab Yosi Barabun. Gamliel Zuga, that was his name, asked Rab Yosi Barabun, Ezu Amachovash Bakulam, which of these three psukim is the most clear that a person needs to act in a way that's above suspicion from people? And he tells him the pasuk involving Bnei Reuven and Bnei Gad that says that you should be clear, that it's an explicit instruction from Moshe Rabbeinu. You should be clear in front of Hashem and in front of Yisrael, meaning that a person has to act in a way that other people are not going to suspect him, which is, after all, the whole idea behind it. It's part of the idea behind Maris Ayin and other such dinim, is that other people shouldn't suspect that he did an Aveira. So applying that to this person who's doing the Trumas HaLishka, therefore, we have to make sure that he acts in a way, he doesn't wear clothing or tefillin or what have you, in which people might suspect that he hid coins, and we do all these other precautions to make sure that he's above suspicion, that nobody can suspect that he took anything. Okay. Halacha Gimel, the Mishnah says, Shel Beis Yom Gamliel Hoya Nichnas, members of the family of Rabbi Gamliel, when they were giving their Trumas HaLishka, now they wanted to, when they were giving their Machzah Shekel, rather, they wanted to make sure that their Machzah Shekel is actually going to be one of the ones that's used to buy the Korbanos. And we learned before, and we're going to learn in a little more detail, that what it is like this. They had a certain amount of coins that they would fill up in the baskets and use those to buy the korbanos and then pay the other operating expenses of the Beis Hamikdash. Then after that, whatever was left after that became shiorei halishka, became what's left over in the lishka. And that has different dinim. That we're going to learn in the next parak was used for things like repairs to the walls of Yerushalayim and other projects like that. So in the household of Rav Gamliel, they wanted to make sure that their machzah shekel, the actual coin that they give, is going to be used towards the karbonis. So hoya nichnas, they would go into the chamber over there. They would give them, the Beis Din would give them permission to go into the chamber itself. In other words, they wouldn't be giving it during Adar They wouldn't be giving it during Adar like everybody else. They would wait until Rosh Chodesh Nissan, which is when they're actually doing the first Trumas Halishka, which Veshikloi Beinetzmoy. So they would have the Machzah Shekel between their fingers in such a way that it's obvious that they're going in to give the Machzah Shekel. Vezorka Lifnei HaTorim, that he would throw it directly in front of the person who's doing the Trumas Halishka. Vatorim Miskavin Vedochva Losech HaKupa, the one who's doing the Trumas Halishka would make sure to push it into the basket, which is actually being filled up to buy korbanos for the Beis Mikdash. So this way, the members of Rabbi Gamliel's household, when they did that, they would be making sure that, as the Gemara is going to say, Amud Beis, they want it for Nachas Ruach, that this way they know for a fact that their coin is being used to buy the actual korbanos rather than ending up in Shiurei Halishka. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Eina Todem Todem, the person who's going in to do the Trumas Halishka does not go and start and does not go and start collecting the truma, does not go and start taking coins out and putting them into the baskets. Adchu oimalahem etraim, before he asks the gizborim, the people who are in charge over there, should I take the truma? Behein emin le troim, 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 shalosh pamim. They tell him three times, take the truma, take the truma, take the truma. In other words, he would ask three times, should I take the truma? And they would answer him, yes, take the truma. We find in general with many things that the Chachamim wanted to publicize that they would have a three times question and answer like that. You find the connection with the Korban Omer, which was brought on the second day Pesach, that when they're going and harvesting it the night after the first night of Pesach, on the first night of Chol HaMoed, you had similar things. That the people who are gathering, the people who are harvesting the grain, they would ask everybody there, should I use the sickle? And they would answer, yes. Should I use this basket? Yes. Should I harvest? Yes. And each thing they would repeat three times in order to make a big publicity about it. So the same thing over here. We want to make...
Yeah. The reason they did it because they should take away from the, what it called, for the meat.
The from tzedukim, right? That's true. Well, right. The reason they did that is to take away from the tzedukim, because the tzedukim claiming machos a Shabbos means the day after, it means always on Sunday, whereas we know it means the day after Yom Tov. True. But nevertheless, we do find in other examples like this where when somebody is going to do something that we want to publicize, then we repeat it three times. Over here also, I don't know. I mean, the truth is there may have been something with the tzedukim over here also. Megillas Tainis tells us, and the Gemara quotes it in Menachos, that the tzedukim at one point made an argument that the korbanos tzibur don't need to be brought from the machzah shekel. Individual people can be donating korbanos for the korbanos tzibur. For example, the korban tamid, you don't need a fund in the Beis Mikdash that you're going to go and buy the korbanos tzibur. People will get rich people to donate animals, and that'll be the tamidim and the musafim and so forth. And it took 8 days at the beginning of Nissan for the chachamim to refute the tzedukim on that, and therefore, in fact, they declared those 8 days one of the yom tovim in Megillas Tainis. So maybe it's similar over here. The Tzedukim might argue, what do you need a Trumas Halishka for? You should just be able to have that the Gvirim will donate on behalf of the Jewish people, and therefore we need to publicize and say that no, we're actually taking the Trumas Halishka against what the Tzedukim say. Maybe. And none of the Mephoshim mentioned that point over here, but maybe there was that point.
The Korban Tamid was by the Kohen Gadol's own money, or he only gave
the Korban Tamid, that's what we're saying. The Korban Tamid was brought out of the Trumas Halishka. It was brought out of the Machzah Shekels that the entire Jewish people contributed. That's what we're saying.
What did the Kohen Gadol give from his own money?
The Kohen Gadol gave from his own money the Minchas Chavit. The Minchas Chavit, the Mincha with flour and oil that the Kohen Gadol brought every day, that came out of his own funds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But that's not a Korban Sibur. That's really a Korban on behalf of the Kohen Gadol himself. Yeah. Okay. Next. So they're repeating three times. All the various mephoshim over here just say the reason why they repeated three times is because always when the chachamim do things, they always repeat it three times. But it could be also it is related to this idea that it shows that we're refuting the tzedukim and saying that no, the korbanos tzibur do in fact come from funds from the tzibur rather than just individual rich gvirim donating. Okay. The Mishnah continues. So now, after he would take the first Trumas Halishka, and we learned in the Mishnah at the beginning of this Perek that there's three different times a year when they would take Trumas Halishka. We had a three-way machloikas when it was exactly. Is it Erev Rosh Chodesh Nissan? Is it Erev Rosh Chodesh Nissan, 15 days before Pesach? The 35th day of the Omer, 15 days before Shavuos, and Erev Rosh Hashanah, 15 days before Sukkot, or is it, that was one opinion, that was Rabbi Akiva. Then we had Ben Azai saying that it's the 29th of Adar, because he holds Adar is always 29 days, the first of Sivan, and the 29th of Av, And then we had Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon saying the first of Nissan, the first of Sivan, and Erev Rosh Hashanah. Actually, the machlokes over there is about Maisa Behema. Some of the Mephoshim talk about, are they also arguing about the times with the Truma Salishka? In any case, let's say a coin to Rabbi Akiva. Let's say according to Rabbi Akiva, and let's say everybody agrees with him as far as Truma Salishka, that it takes place those three times, Erev Rosh Chodesh Nissan, or actually at the beginning of the Masechta, we said Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and then 15 days before Shavuos and 15 days before Sukkos. After he would take the first truma, then whatever money was left in the Lishka over there, he would cover it with a katavliya, which is a leather cover. And then when more coins come in throughout the year, then they would pile them on top of that. This is how most of the Rishonim learn the Mishnah. We'll talk in a minute. The Rambam has a different shita of it. But according to most of the Rishonim, what we're saying is when they brought in the money, they'd put in a pile over there in the Lishka. Now the guy, what he does is he takes from that pile, we said, three baskets of three saw each and fills them up. Then what they did is the money that was left in the chamber, they would cover with a leather cover. We were leather covers, plural, because they probably needed a lot of them. Then Hashniya, and then new money that comes in. So now what happens is, in other words, when he does the first truma on Rosh Chodesh Nissan or Erev Rosh Chodesh Nissan, what happens is he takes out nine saw of coins. Everything else that's in the Lishka at that point becomes Shiarei HaLishka, becomes now money that we're not going to use towards the Karbanos. We're going to use it, as we said, towards repairing the walls of Yerushalayim and various other projects like that. So now they put these leather covers on. Then when more money comes in from, as we're going to say later on in the Mishnah, after Rosh Chodesh Nissan is first when the money from places near Eretz Yisrael would start rolling in. You have up to Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the people in Eretz Yisrael itself had time to get in their Machzor Shekel. We said they first announced it, Rosh Chodesh Adar, and they started collecting them Tesvav Adar. So in those couple of weeks, we have enough time that all the Machzor Shekels of people who live in Eretz Yisrael can come in. But meanwhile, then you also have Machzor Shekel from the countries nearby, Ammon, Moav, other countries near Eretz Yisrael. Those are going to come in only after Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So they would put those on top of the leather cover. Then eventually comes the second Truma Salishka, which takes place before Rosh Hashanah. Hashniya b'chippa b'katav liyos. So then you would have again the same thing. He takes nine saw of coins out of what came in between Pesach and between Rosh Chodesh Nissan and Rosh Hashanah. He takes out nine saw of those coins and then covers the remainder with a leather cover. And again, the rest of that now becomes Shiorei Halishka. Hashlishis loy hayim achapa. And then when more money is coming in after Rosh Hashanah, that's coming from places like Bavel and other faraway countries. So then again, he starts piling those up on top of the third one. And Ashlishis, sorry, I said it wrong. The second truma we said was before Shavuos, rather. So money that comes in between Rosh Chodesh Nissan and the truma that takes place before Shavuos, that would be from Ammon and Moav and the nearby places. And then, so he's taking the second truma before Shavuos. And again, then he covers the remaining coins with a leather cover. And then they start piling other coins that come in. Now after Shavuos, more coins start coming in from even further away places, such as Bavel. And so then they pile those on top of the leather cover. Shlishis lohei machapa, when he does the third Truma Salishka for the year, before Rosh Hashanah, he doesn't have to cover the remaining coins, because at that point, everything that's left in the room is Shiorei Halishka. V'loma hoya machapa, so why would he cover the first two? Shema yishkach v'yitra min adavar atorum, because otherwise he might forget and take the Truma from a pile where they had already taken the Truma from, and you can't do that because the first two piles are already considered Shiorei Halishka. So therefore, so instead of just making like this, they could have, let's say, made different piles of coins in different parts of the room. Instead, they did them one on top of the other. And this way, the lower ones are covered. And covered means it shows that, therefore, you don't take them. That's according to most Rishonim. The Rambam has a whole different understanding of how the thing went. The Rambam understands that to begin with, when they brought the money into the Lishka, they filled up. And they filled up three large baskets, each of nine saw. So you have 27 saw, and then all the other coins that come in are going into Shiorei Halishka. Now what happens is, during the year, the three trumas that Amam learns is each time he takes a three saw basket and fills it, and it takes 1 3-saw basket and fills it up from the first large basket. So you have three large baskets, each holding 9-saw. The first time he takes a small basket out of the first large basket, and then a second small one out of the second large one, and a third small one out of the third large one. Then he covers the baskets with these leather cloths. The second time around, what he does is, when he comes in before Shavuos to do the Trumas Halishka, then he takes the first basket out of the second large basket. So then it's second, then third, then first. And the third time it's third, then first, then second. In other words, we want to have that each time, each one of the large baskets, which we're going to say later in the Mishnah, is meant to represent the Jews of different parts of the world, each one of those baskets gets to be used first for the small baskets, which we're going to actually take out of there and spend on the money for the Karbanah. So that's how the Rambam learns it. That's how the Rambam learns it in a nutshell. So he says what it means is they covered the first two, they covered the baskets to show that next time, in other words, we cover the, for example, after the first time, we cover the first and third baskets in order that next time, the second, when he comes in 3 months later, the second basket he's going to find uncovered, that will remind him to take from that second basket first, as opposed to the first time, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, where he took from the first basket first. And then afterwards, the same thing. He covers the first and second, leaves the third one uncovered, in order that next time when he comes in before Rosh Hashanah, he'll remember to start taking from the third one first. Okay, continues the Mishnah. When he takes the truma, the first one that he does Rosh Chodesh Nissan or Erev Rosh Chodesh Nissan, he has in mind the Jews of Eretz Yisrael. Now, as we're going to say in the Gemara, that doesn't mean only the Jews of Eretz Yisrael. The fact is, Jews all over the world, we have to be bringing the Karbanos on their behalf. It means that he had in mind, it's primarily for them, but it also he's having in mind the money that's going to yet be coming in from other places. Now, there is actually a machlokes about that. We learned earlier in the Masechta, we learned at the beginning of the second parak, for example, that there is a machloikas whether when he does the Trumas Halishka, does he have in mind also the coins that are yet going to come in, ala govri v'ala osid ligavis, that he has in mind also the coins that have already been collected and are on their way to Yerushalayim, and also the ones that haven't even been collected yet, or do we say that he has in mind only the ones that are actually here right now? According to that second opinion, we said at the very beginning of the Masechta, they would have to, for example, in Bavel, they would have to announce about Matzah Shekel much earlier during the winter time in order for all of it to come in to the Lishka by Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So our Mishnah then is going according to the opinion that he does have in mind, that he does have in mind the ones that are going to be brought in later. So therefore, the first one, the coins came from Eretz Yisrael. The ones that are in the Lishka by this point by Rosh Chodesh Nissan are the ones from Eretz Yisrael. So he has them primarily in mind when he's doing the Trumas Halishka. The second one he does, having in mind the large cities near Eretz Yisrael, for example, in Ammon and Moab and other places like that. The third one he does on the name of Bavel and Madai and other faraway countries, that because by that time their coins have come in before Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah. So one idea is, Reb Shlomo Cirilio says the idea. So in that case, if we're having in mind the whole Jewish people anyway, then why are we mentioning the individual places? He says in order to give them a bracha and to show them honor, like we didn't forget about you. We're specifically mentioning you people of Bavel and Madai, you people in the cities around Eretz Yisrael. Don't think we've forgotten about you. We respect you and we remember you, and we know that you're giving Matzah Shekel. The Rosh, I think, gives a somewhat different reason. The reason is in order to encourage them to give in the future. Like this, if we never mention them, they're likely to think to themselves, you know what, who knows whether I gave my Matzah Shekel or not? Why should we even bother? Like this, when they specifically mention and they make, again, this big public spectacle out of it, and everybody hears them saying, we're doing this L'Shem Bavel, L'Shem Madai, etc. So that encourages the people of Bavel and Madai in the future to keep on giving Matzah Shekel. So the Gemara says, we said in the Mishnah shall base Rav Gamliel chula, that people from Rav Gamliel's household would walk into the Lishka and throw their coin directly into the pile, and the guy would get it into the basket. So the Gemara says, why do they need? Yeah,
Rabbi, if to making the loud announcement, it means that those people from Madai are here, I guess Shoshal Shugalim. So if they hear it, it doesn't make a difference when they do it. If Shabbos are gone, they're coming up. The only way they can hear it, if they're there to hear it. If they're home, they're not going to hear it.
Not necessarily. I mean, here we're talking about it's two weeks before the regel. So not necessarily are people from Bavel and Madai in town yet. But man, they might be, of course. Some of them might be there. But even if not, you know, like the Gemara says in Bava Basra, Chavra Chavra Islay, Bechavra de Chavra Chavra Islay. People talk about what happened. People tell their friends and their friends tell their friends. So it gets around. It gets around. You should know, like this one, let's say, for example, before Rosh Hashanah, they're making this announcement. We're doing this one, L'shem Bavel, L'shem Madai. Now, 2 weeks later, when the Oyla Regal from Madai are there in Yerushalayim, and somebody's, oh, you're from Madai? Yeah, we know how important you are. They just announced before Rosh Hashanah, they just announced about how your Machzah Shekel came to Yerushalayim and how they're using it.
Okay. And also, in between, when they collected the shekelim from the baskets and they covered it, and then between Pesach and Shavuos, other money came in. That money went on top of that.
Cloth. On top of that. So that's the thing, right? So according to most of the right.
And that money was used for kabbanis.
For kabbanis, exactly. In other words, right. According to most of the Rishonim, the way it worked was you had one big pile of money in the Lishka. You had during Adar time all the coins from Eretz Yisrael come in, and then Rosh Chodesh Nissen or Erev Rosh Chodesh Nissen, they take the first truma from it. Then they cover the remainder of it with a cloth, with this leather cover. And after that, everything else that's in that pile, after they took out 9 sav coins from it, is called Shiorei HaLishka. And it's not going to be used for the Korbanos. Then, right, after that, then more coins start coming in. After Rosh Chodesh Nissen, coins start coming in from Ammon and Moab and other nearby places. So then they put those on top of that cover. And yes, before Shavuos, when they do the next Truma Salishka, they're going to fill up 9 saw of coins from those ones that are on top of the leather cover and use those to buy the Korbanos. Then they're going to cover the remainder with a leather cover. Again, the rest of it is Shorei HaLishka. Then after that, coins start coming in from Bavel and Madai and other faraway places. And then they put those on top of that leather cover. And before Rosh Hashanah, those are the ones that they take 9 sov coins from those and they spend them on the Korbanos and everything else becomes Shorei HaLishka.
And later on, we're going to learn what happened when they take out the Shorei HaLishka, when they do that.
Shorei HaLishka, we're going to talk about in the next perek what they did with it, right?
Okay, thank you.
Right. And that, again, that's all according to most of the Rishonim. According to the Rambam, rather, what it is that to begin with, they would fill up, as coins are coming in, they would fill up 3 large boxes of 9 saw each. And then after that, the three trumas amounted to that you're taking smaller boxes and using those to fill smaller baskets and filling those up in turn from each of the larger baskets. And each time you're starting with a different large basket. So according to the Rambam, there's no piling of coins on top of other coins, and the leather covers are not there in order to distinguish one set of coins from the new coins that come in later. It's rather more in order to distinguish the 3 large boxes from each other, so you know next time to start taking from a new large box. This whole concept of large boxes is unique to the Rambam's opinion. Everybody else holds that you just had small boxes of 3 saw each, and they had 3 boxes 3 times a year, so it equals 27 saw. The Rambam has this unique shitta that they started out with three large boxes of 9 saw each, and then they filled up smaller boxes of 3 saw from each of them. Okay. So the Gemara asks, we said shall base Rav Gamliel v'chol. We said the people of Rav Gamliel's household would actually go into the Lishka and throw their machzah shekel into the pile, and the guy would make sure that it gets into the basket. So the question is why? Ilu hayu shnei kroyim. Imagine you have 2 piles of grain, v'tarna me'echad me'en achaveri, and you say, I'm taking truma out of one pile, having in mind that it's going to that I'm giving truma and meiser in an amount for the other pile as well. Shemalei potter chaveri. Is it not potter in the other one? Of course it does. So why do the people of Rav Gamliel's household care whether their coins end up in the kupa, end up in the basket or not? After all, we just said in the Mishnah that the truma salishka is taken on behalf of the whole Jewish people. So regardless, it's going to be done on their behalf, same as everybody else. The answer is hanachas ruach ilahen. True, but they wanted to do it for nachas ruach for themselves. Shelo yehi korban miskarav elam shelahen tchila. They wanted specifically that their coins should be used, that their coins should be used to begin with davka for the karbonis rather than remaining in shiori alishka. Yes, of course, they would be yoitza machta shekel, even if it did remain in shiori alishka, because the ones, the 27 sav coins that they use for buying the karbonis and the other expenses of the smichtash throughout the year are for all the, are on behalf of every Jewish person who gave machta shekel. But the people of Rav Gamliel's household like the idea that their own coin should actually be used towards buying the karbanas, and therefore the gizbarim would allow them to do that, since after all they are the nasiim. In fact, this word tchila over here is a bit of a proof to the Rambam's shita about the large boxes and the small boxes, because according to everybody else, what's the word tchila? The fact is, either you're using the coins for the karbanas, or they're not. They're under the leather cover, and they become shiori alishka. But according to the Rambam, we understand it. All coins in the 3 large boxes are going to be used to buy the karbanis sometime during the year. So it would have been enough that Rav Gamliel's household just throws it into any one of those 3 large boxes and it will be used. But they wanted that it should be tchila. They wanted that it should be in the first batch of coins that are used, that are filled up in the 3 smaller baskets of 3 sa to buy the karbanis. Okay. Tony, we learn in a braisa, shama pesakavta vlias nasa kulan shirayim. If they take off the leather covers between one pile and the next, then all of it becomes shirayim, because now we can't tell what's what, and therefore all of it has the din of shiori halishka. Another way of explaining it is that at the end, shama tesakavta vlias v'nasu kulan shirayim. Another girsa is that at the end, after all 3 trumas halishkas have been done, then they would take out the leather covers, and at that point, there's nothing left. There's no more Trumas Halishka to be done. So now all the coins that are left in the Lishka have the din of Shiori Halishka. Okay. A Braisa says, Tony, we learn in a Braisa, Shlishis Hihoisa Ashirash Makolon. The 3rd Trumas Halishka was the richest of all of them, meaning it had the most expensive coins. Shahoyabo Itzleu, Itzdirias Shol Zahuv, V'darkoinus Shol Zahuv. It had in it various gold coins. We learned at the beginning of the 2nd Perek that people who live far away from Yerushalayim are allowed to exchange their machzah shekels for gold coins and have the gold coins brought to the Beis Mikdash, because that way it'll be easier to transport. Instead of transporting a bunch of small silver coins, they can transport a smaller number of gold coins, and it'll be much easier. So now the ones that are coming from Bavel and Madai and other faraway countries, which are the ones that are coming between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah, those are the ones that have gold coins in them. So now when they do a Trumas Halishka of 3 sa, or 9 sa rather, of coins before Rosh Hashanah, in that 9 sa is included a much higher percentage of gold coins. So it's the richest one out of all of them, which kind of makes sense when you get down to it, because that one had to last for 6 months. The other one, the 1st Trumas Halishka, they did Rosh Chodesh Nissan, only has to last them 2 months until Shavuos, and the one Shavuos only has to last 4 months till Rosh Hashanah, whereas the one that they do Rosh Hashanah has to last for 6 months or 7 months, if it's a leap year, till next Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So it kind of makes sense that it would have had the richest proportion of gold coins in it. Okay. Tony, we learned a braisa. The 1st truma, Rosh Chodesh Nissen, he says it's on behalf of the Jews of Eretz Yisrael and the whole Jewish people. Meaning, again, like we said, he doesn't just have the Jews of Eretz Yisrael in mind, because all Jews all over the world have to be able to have a share in the korbanos that are brought from Nissen until Sivan. But he mentions Eretz Yisrael in order to distinguish them. Like to say, these coins that we have over here mostly came from Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's primarily for the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, but we're also having in mind the other coins that are being collected and the other coins that have yet to be collected and are eventually going to be on their way to Yerushalayim. The 2nd one, he says that it's on behalf of the cities around Eretz Yisrael, such as Ammon and Moav, and for the whole Jewish people. The 3rd one is in the name of Bavel and Madai and other faraway countries, and also having in mind all the rest of the Jewish people. So again, each one is on behalf of all the Jewish people, but each one he's mentioning specifically one particular area where Jews live in order to honor that area and give them a bracha and encourage them to give in the future. Okay. Tony, now we learn in another braisa. We said he takes 3 baskets of coins out of the lishka each time. And we said that they're labeled, that we said in the previous Mishnah of this Perek, we said that they were labeled with the letters Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, or according to another opinion, they were labeled with the Greek letters Alpha, Beta, Gamma. So the reason for that was, Tony, not on Mina Rishona, you start by using the money from the first basket, and then Alpha, Pich, Yesh, Beta, Shona, Nota, Mina Shnia, and then even if there's coins left in the first basket, they can already start taking from the second one. It's just a mitzvah to use the coins from the first basket first. You don't empty it completely. And then you start taking from the second one when it comes, start taking from the second one. Then, even if there's some coins left in the second one, they can already start using the third one, because the point is just that you have to have three baskets. We learned a few, the Gemara had mentioned a few days earlier that you have a pasuk that mentions shlishis a shekel b'shana, and from that we learn that everything with the master shekel should be in threes. So, therefore, we want to make sure that sometime during that season, all three baskets are used. So then, notum and ashlishis. So after shesh b'shnia, notum and ashlishis. Even if there's still coins left in the second one, they have to at some point start using the third one. Then shalma shlishis. If they use up all the coins in the third basket, choizel ashnia, then you go back to the second one and use the remaining coins in that. Shalma shnia, if they use up the ones in the second basket, choizel rishona, then you go back to the first one. Shalma shloshan, and if all three of them are used up, choizel v'shoikel, then you go and take machzah shekel again. So in other words, you can't use the shiore halishka, because the shiore halishka, we said, are not available to be buying the karbanos. So if it so happens that this year, for example, expenses were higher than normal and they had to spend more than normal on the karbanos, so now if they used up all three baskets, then everybody needs to give new machzah shekel rather than taking from the shiore halishka. Rab Meir Omer choizel v'shirayim. On the other hand, Rab Meir says, no, you don't do that. You just go back and take from the shirayim. Because according to Reb Meir, the Chachamim are saying that the Shirayim are off limits to use to buy the Korbanos. In effect, what the Chachamim are saying is, once you took out the baskets of coins, then the rest of the coins that are in the Lishka become Chulin. And if they're Chulin, then they can't be used for the Korbanos. But Reb Meir holds, no, they're still considered Kodshim, and therefore they can be used for the Korbanos if necessary, rather than making everybody donate new Machzah Shekel for that year. Reb Meir in fact says that Mi'ila would apply to the Shiore Alishka, because you might end up needing them in the end. So you see that Reb Meir holds that the Shiore Alishka can be used for the Korbanos in a pinch. Whereas the Chachamim disagree, and therefore, according to them, if they used up the money, if they used up the whole 27 sa that was in all the baskets, then they have no choice but to ask everybody to donate new Machzah Shekel for the rest of the year. Okay. Now, the Pinchas ben Yair says similarly about, now we're going to have a braisa over here that talks about different levels of midas tovas, how one midah tova brings to another one. You have this braisa that he's going to quote at the end of Sota and in Gemara Avodah Zarah. There's slightly different versions between one place and the other. What is the connection of this to what we said before? So Tiklin Chavitin says it's referring back to what we talked about before on Amud Aleph, that a person has to act in a way that's not only above board in front of Hashem, but also above board in front of people. So therefore, we're finishing off the perek with discussing an idea about the proper midas, that a person should have, and how one good midah leads to another. So that's the connection, in other words. So it's referring back to what we learned before about being clean in the eyes of Hashem. Korban Eidah says differently. He says, we just said that the Shiore Alishka, according to the mayor, can be used in a pinch to buy the rest of the Korbanos, and therefore, according to him, Me'ila would apply to them. So we see, therefore, that relates to the idea that a person has to be careful, a person has to be zoriz to avoid doing an Aveda. Just like what Meir is saying, that you have to keep these coins off limits and not use them for anything else, because you might end up needing them for the Korbanos. Okay, so v'chein ha'ir Pinchas ben Yair. So the Pinchas ben Yair used to say, zrizos mivia l'dein nekius. Being zoriz, being quick and eager to do mitzvahs and to do them properly, that leads a person to nekius, that leads a person to being clean of any trace of aveira. So that leads him to be clean of aveiras. Nekius mivia l'dei tara, cleanliness in that brings to tara, which means, in other words, the Korban Eidah says, it means that even the aveiras he did before get cleaned up, and his neshama gets cleaned up and made tahor. Korban Tikkun Chanitin says that Mevila de Tara means Taras Haguf, means that a person starts out being clean, literally clean of any taint on his body that would be a chatzitza. So now that brings to tara. So in a bodily sense, you see that cleanliness brings to tara, because you can only be tahor if your body is clean first. And beruchnius also, when the person's body is clean of any trace of aveda, then that brings him to purity of his neshama. Next, tara mivila de kedusha. Tara in turn brings to kedusha, which korban eda says means kedusha of the heart and his thoughts. Tikkun Chadatin says also in a gashmiistic sense, once a person is tahor, he's able to eat karbonis, he's able to eat kodshim. And again, in a ruchniistic sense, so he brings also in a sense that, so you have he brings it from a Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in Brachas tells us that one time there was a man who wanted to be mezana with a certain woman, and she pointed out to him, if you do that, this was the time when Takonis Ezra was still in effect, and you're not allowed to learn Torah unless you toveled. If you were Balkeri, you're not allowed to learn Torah unless you toveled. So she tells him, you don't have a mikveh nearby, and that held him back. So you have an example that Tara brought him to Kedusha, to staying away from Arayis. Next, Kedusha Mevila de Anova. Kedusha brings a person to being humble, because a person who has a spirit of Kedusha wants to be even more and more holy. So he realizes that I'm not nearly anywhere where I should be, and therefore he's humble in front of Hashem. Tikkun Chadatin says also, since he acts in a way of Kedusha and he's always in Hashem's presence, so he realizes the greatness of Hashem, and therefore from that he comes to a feeling of inadequacy in front of Hashem, that I'm so lowly that how can I serve Hashem properly? So that's a nivus. Anova mevila de yiraschet. Next, being anov brings a person to fear averus. So Korban Eda says it means, for example, Yiraschet would include, let's say, that a person is not going to think to himself, I'll go in a place where Averis are being done and no problem, I'll hold myself back. No, he stays away from any place where there's even a potential of him being seduced into Avera. So that's Yiraschet. Also, Yiraschet is the idea that he realizes he's afraid to do an Aveda, not because he's afraid of punishment, that would be a very low level of Yiras Hashem, but rather, as it talks about in Tanya, because he's either you have Yiras HaRoimimus, he's in awe of Hashem, or even you have an even higher level, Yirah Boshes, he realizes all the time he's in front of Hashem, and therefore he'd be embarrassed to do an Aveda. That's Yiraschet. Yiraschet mevila de chassidus. That in turn brings a person to chassidus, going lefnim mishuras adin. That brings him to that. Chassidus mevila de ruach hakodesh. A chassid is able to reach the level of ruach hakodesh. He acts lefnim mishuras adin. Therefore, Korban Eda says Hashem acts with him lefnim mishuras adin, and he's able to be informed of things that are beyond nature. He's able to be informed of secrets of Torah that he otherwise wouldn't have known. That's ruach hakodesh. Tikkun Chadatin brings the famous thing that you had by Simchas Beis Sheva. The Chassidim va'anshei Meisa were dancing and singing over there by Simchas Beis Sheva, and from there they could get Ruach HaKodesh, as we have the example that happened with Yonah. So there's an example of Chassidus bringing to Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh mevila de Tchias HaMeisim. In turn, Ruach HaKodesh brings the ability to do Tchias HaMeisim. When a person has Ruach HaKodesh, then he has the ability to do Tchias HaMeisim, and it also includes, and he brings over here, Tikkun Chadatin brings something that we learned in Pesachim a couple of months ago, that's Atzidim Tzadikim, Sheichayos HaMeisim, the Tzadikim in the future time will be reviving the Meisim. Korban Eda says it a little differently. The vote is, like you have the dead bones with Yechezkel, the dry bones in Yechezkel's vision, that there came a spirit from Shemayim, there came a ruach from Shemayim and made them alive again. So we see that Ruach HaKodesh brings to Tchias HaMeisim. There's also an explanation that Tchias HaMeisim over here means he has the ability to be poil on Rishoyim v'chayim kriyim meisim, and turn them into tzaddikim. Tchias HaMeisim mevila de Eliyo zochor atoiv, and Tchias HaMeisim brings to Eliyo Anovi coming, because before the final Tchias HaMeisim, Eliyo Anovi is going to come. So therefore, so we see that there's a hierarchy over here, that one level can lead to another level, and therefore a person goes higher and higher in Avodas Hashem. There's the famous Sefer, Mesilas Yesharim from the Ramchal, is based on this Braisa, although a somewhat different version of the Braisa that's in the Gemara Avodah Zarah, where he explains piece by piece how this is telling a person how to rise higher and higher in Avodah. And the Gemara goes through now how we see each of these things. Zrizus mivir l'dei nekius. Where do we see that being eager and being quick to do a mitzvah and doing it in the best possible way leads to tara, leads to nekius, leads to cleanliness. Dichtiv v'chila mikaper, because the pasuk says about the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, he completes making a kapara. V'chila is mashma zrizus, is mashma he does it and he does it and finishes it completely properly. And the pasuk says mikap mikaper from making kapara, and kapara means cleaning up, means cleaning up averus. So we see that zrizus brings to nekius. Nekius mibiyel de tara, the v'chipper ala koyin v'tahera. That in turn brings to tara, because the pasuk says that the koyin makes atonement for a woman who just gave birth, for example, and she becomes tahar. So we see there's an association between those two things. Tara mibile de kedusha. In turn, tara brings to kedusha. Again, in the psukim about Yom Kippur, the pasuk uses the expression "He will make it tahor and He will make it holy." So tara is a prerequisite for kedusha. Kedusha mibile de anova. That in turn brings to anova, to humility in the presence of Hashem. Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, kichoya marsh. It's actually an haftorah of Yom Kippur, so very, very associated with these psukim that we said before. Kichoya marom benisa. So says the high and exalted one, Hashem. Shoychin ad. Hashem who lives forever, v'kodesh shmoy, whose name is holy, he says, morim v'kodesh eshkoin, I dwell in the high and holy places, v'esdako shval ruach, and with the person who's humble and crushed in spirit. So we see, in other words, that there's an association between kedusha and anivus, that the person who's onav is with Hashem. As the Gemara tells us in Sota, that Hashem, the Gemara brings a machlokas over there, is it that Hashem lifts up the humble person to be closer to Him, or is it the other way around? Hashem descends down to be together with the humble person. But that's so kedusha, the kedusha of Hashem, goes then leads to another. Next, anova mivir l'dei yiraschet. That in turn brings to yiraschet. Tichtiv ekev anova yiras Hashem. As the pasuk says, the result of anova, ekev is like v'hoya ekev tishmon. The result of anova, the reward for it is going to be yiras Hashem. Yiraschet mivir l'dei chesedus. That in turn brings to chesedus. Tichtiv v'chesed Hashem me'olam v'ad olam al yureyav. As the pasuk says, the chesed meloshen chesedus of Hashem is forever and ever on those who fear Him. So a person has to first have yira, and then from that it brings him to the ability to have to have chesedus, which is why in Torah Sachsidus it talks about so much about Av of a Yira, and it talks about Yira, the kind of Yira we were talking about before, Yira Ilah, Yira Boshes is higher even than Ava. And it brings a person even closer. It brings a person even higher, even higher in Avoda, because now he's not just an. It talks about in Chassidus in a lot of places. It talks about in Tanya, for example, in other places. Ava is, after all, you're a Yesh Misha Oyev. You have your own Mitzios, and you love Hashem, and you love His mitzvahs, but then you love His Torah. But Yira Boishes, where a person is embarrassed to do an Avoda in front of Hashem, that's an even higher level. So that leads. That's a prerequisite for a person to be a real Chassid. Then Chassidus mivir l'dei ruach hakodesh. Chassidus brings to ruach hakodesh. Dichtiv oz dibarta b'chazin lachassidecha. The pasuk says in Tillim, then you spoke in a vision to your chassidim. So we see that a person has to be a chassid in order to have a vision of ruach hakodesh. And ruach hakodesh mivir l'dei tchias ameisim. In turn, ruach hakodesh brings to tchias ameisim. Dichtiv v'nasati ruchi b'chem b'chisim. As Hashem says to the dry bones and to the Jewish people collectively, I will put my ruach, my spirit in you, and you will be revived. And Tchias Meis Mivile De Eliyahu Zochel Atoyv. Tchias Meis brings that Eliyahu Anavi comes. Dichtiv Hinei Anochi Shaleach Lachem. It's Eliyahu Anavi. Behold, I'm sending to you Eliyahu Anavi. Lifnei Boyem Hashem, a God of Anora, before the great and awesome day of Hashem comes, which is the day of Tchias Meis. So we see that. Or rather, actually, Tikkun Chadatin says it's the day of the Yom Adina Gadol, the great day of judgment, when Hashem will judge all the nations and the Jewish people once and for all. So before that, Hashem is going to send Eliyahu HaNavi, the Heshev Lev Avos Abanim, to turn back the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to their fathers. And all of that is associated with Tchias HaMesim that will happen when Mashiach comes. So the Gemara finishes off. Since we're talking about great milus that a person can reach in Avoda and being close to Hashem, Tana b'shem Reb Meir, we learn in a Braisa in the name of Reb Meir, Komish Kavua b'Eretz Yisrael, a person who's settled, who lives in Eretz Yisrael, Umedaber b'Loshon HaKodesh, and speaks Loshon Kodesh, V'Oichol Peroisa B'Tara, he eats his produce B'Tara, meaning, in other words, exactly that, even his Cholin, he eats B'Tara, the Koda Krishma Baboiko Ba'erev, and he says Krishma in the morning and the evening. So he has, Tiklun Chadadin explains, he has four advantages. He has the fact that he lives in Eretz Yisrael means that his guf, his yesoida offer, his the earth element of himself is on the proper level. And when he speaks Lashon Kodesh, means that his speech, his dibur, is with Kedusha. The Rambam, in fact, explains that the reason why Lashon Kodesh is called that is because it's a language uniquely suited for Kedusha. It doesn't even have any words for the improper and indelicate things of life. So he speaks Lashon Kodesh means that he speaks in a way of Kedusha. So therefore, that his ruach is good. He eats his produce patara corresponds to the tzemeach within himself. He says Krishma in the morning and the evening corresponds to his neshama. So he has his nefesh and ruach and neshama and his guf. So therefore, yehe mevusar sheben olam abahu, he's given news that he is a ben olam abba. Because he's completed, he's perfected everything about himself, his guf, and all three aspects of his neshama. So therefore, he can be sure that he's going to have chayim nitzchim in olam haba. Even his so korban eidah says it means two things. Number one, it means his body, not only his neshama, is going to have a place in olam haba. Fine, ko yisrael yeshem chayim olam haba. But it means even his body is going to be able to have chayim olam haba. And also, it means that he's going to be able to go into olam haba. Most people have to have a certain amount of yisurim before the zayichat did. This person who has these four advantages doesn't need that. He can go straight away into olam haba. Hadron alach perak b'shloshe prakim.
Shekoyach.